another one.
Little girl, oh, what you do to me? Sometimes I forget to breathe. 'Cause you make me such a mess. I can't think of nothing else but this love. Oh, this breathless love. Darling, I need you. Breath on your lips. Oh, as that touch of mine. If I want to live well, little girl.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, what you do to me.
Welcome to another one of these.
Sometimes.
Well, we've got something pretty great today that needs no introduction. Actually, it needs introduction. Everything needs introduction. Had a situation today at work where my boss said something that has been said to me before. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the 60 Minutes personality Andy Rooney, but this is the old man who wears a crazy-ass tweed jacket, sits behind a desk, probably with a rock-hard dick, and just complains about fucking everything. What they did is they would take this news show, this supposedly serious news show, and have this old man just, you know, they'd be like, Andy, whatever you want to just fucking go off about today, come on in and do it. And, you know, it was a lot of the, you know, these days, people don't have respect for the ocean. In my day, when the waves were high, you didn't go out there. But now you see these howlies on surfboards all the time. You know, shit like that. And I was compared to this old man. And this is not the first time this has happened. And in fact, as a young boy, I saw this Andy Rooney on the television and thought, that's the perfect job. That guy works 2 minutes to 3 minutes out of the entire fucking week. And he may not even, I don't know if he even plans it out or if he just comes in and starts yelling. It looked like he was broadcasting from home. He was basically the first podcaster. You know, he was just doing it in video on a real legitimate show. So here's what I thought would be a good activity today. I would load up some Andy Rooney videos on the YouTubes. And what I would do is, based on the title, I would spend about 2 minutes talking about whatever topic, and then we'll see what Andy did with it. And by the end of this, I think it'll be pretty clear which one of us is the superior Andy Rooney. Now, I think I'll just go first, because honestly, I don't want to go down the same roads that he's on. I don't want to be influenced by what he says and just rip him off, right? I think that I would be better off just going on my own, and then we'll hear what he has to say. Plus, it's probably more fun if I just, based on the title, say something that's completely wrong and has nothing to do with anything. So without further ado, because I know you've been waiting, we're going to do this. It looks like the first video I've got pulled up here, by the way, we have a, you know, slow-ass computer, so if anything goes wrong, it's because this computer is horrible. And my life. And my life is horrible, right? So let's see. I'm going to just pull up. The first topic we've got here is bottled water. So I guess he had a lot to say about bottled water. And I'll take my shot. Now, I think what I probably will do also is kind of try and be this old man curmudgeon. So I may say some things that I don't necessarily believe, but that I think he might say, because I honestly don't care about bottled water. Bottled water. You know, these days, everyone's drinking water from a goddamn bottle. No one can just open the tap, open their face, and drink. We didn't even drink from cups when I, Andy Rooney, was a boy who barely needed to comb his eyebrows because they were normal length. No, we just stuck our faces under the tap. Or God forbid, you just put your face on the hose, your brother turns on the water so hard that it hurts your cheeks because it pushes it out. There's nothing like a good hose water blast on a summer day. Now we've got these bottled waters. Look at this junk. These bottles, why, I remember when a bottle was a glass, cool, dewy drink holder that you could turn in to get 1/2 of 1 cent and a light slap on the ass from the storekeeper. Now what is it worth? Nothing. You still have to recycle it, though. Otherwise, these goddamn hippies and their stupid tie-dye and conversion vans get all over you about it. How is this supposed to work? Are we just supposed to keep drinking these bottles of water, expecting that they're just going to last forever? Expecting? And what's the water from the tap going to? Why do you people even have taps? Why don't we just have a waterman come and deliver? We actually did used to have a waterman come and deliver at my house because I lived in, the 17th century. Water! Water! And he would hold his hands out and cup them on your face and you would drink from his hands. It was whatever man had the most waterproofest hands became the next waterman. And that's when I knew my friend Jim Waterman probably was descended from a long line of watermen. And he had the smoothest hands and he put them all over Andy Rooney's dick. So that's my closest guess for his water bottle chat. Let's see how Andy did it, and just see who did it better. Let's be objective.
Tonight, Andy has a case of water on the brain, sort of.
A lot of people aren't drinking the water that comes out of their faucet these days. Bottled water has become a $9 billion business. This is one of the most popular, Poland Spring Water. It isn't Polish, it's from Poland Spring, Maine. This pint.
I already like his better. This says Poland Spring. It's not even Polish.
It costs $1.35.
$1.35.
The CBS cafeteria. Now just think about that. There are 8 pints in a gallon. So if your car ran on water instead of on gas, and you had to fill a 15-gallon tank with this, it would cost $162 to fill your tank with water. Evian says it's the official.
Can you even believe that? That would be crazy.
Bottled water of the U.S. Open. Beechnut added fluoride to its water, if you have a craving for fluoride. Carries a warning. This is not an oral electrolyte solution. Do not use to manage diarrhea. Well, thanks for the warning, Beechnut. I'll be careful not to do that. Valvic comes from...
He might be better than me. I don't know. So far, I like his better. I mean, I'm partial because I did it, but... God damn, he's good. I'll be careful not to get diarrhea.
France, a long way to bring a bottle of water. Saratoga spring water. Ultra pure Hawaii water. Sources of virgin rainforest, it claims. When does a rainforest lose its virginity anyway? This is a fancy bottle. I bet that bottle costs more than the water. Dasani is owned by Coca-Cola. Says the water is treated by reverse osmosis. Thought I tasted something funny. We took some of these bottles to a testing laboratory called Yorktown Environmental Services to see what was in them. We talked to the owner, Al Padovani, a water expert.
From all the waters I've seen that are bottled waters, and I probably haven't tested all of them, but they're very much dead water is what I call. They have nothing in them. I drink tap water.
Do you?
The water that you get out of a municipal supply or a well supply has more chemicals that your body needs.
My office is on the same floor with the staff of the CBS Early Show, about 60 people. Almost all the women working there have a bottle on their desk.
Whoa. Managed to change this into a woman thing, huh? Andy. Andy's killing it.
It's like a security blanket. It's always there. They carry it with them wherever they go. I think more women than men drink bottled water, too. Out by the elevator here, there's a water fountain. The water is cooled, very good, and the filter is changed regularly. I have never seen anyone drink this free water.
So maybe I'll try and get in on this bottled water boom. We've designed this Rooney water bottle, and I'm going to fill it from the fountain here.
He has a bottle that he's holding that's Rooney water, and it's got a picture of his face looking pissed off on it.
And see if I can sell it to the women on this floor for $1.25.
I'm Morley Safer. We'll be back next week with another edition of 60 Minutes.
All right. Well, I think in the water contest, Andy's got me beat. I got to be honest. He managed to, you know, talk about Poland Springs, diarrhea, and why women are inferior in 3 minutes. And under the auspice of talking about bottled water, he basically did this show in 3 minutes. I mean, that was, he is the master in that he does in 3 minutes what I do in about 150 minutes. Let's try another one. Let's see what else we've got here that comes up that looks pretty good. Andy Rooney, size of paper towels. That sounds like a winner. So I'm going to try and incorporate maybe some more of the, you know, the Andy Rooney things. So let's see. Let's see. Diarrhea. I need to get in there. The inferiority of ladies. And what was the other thing? Shit. Well, I can't. I already lost one. This is how not good I am at this job. Poland Springs. Well, let's just make sure we get in diarrhea and the inferiority of women when we're talking about paper towels. Here we go. And size of paper towels. I went to the store the other day and I noticed something. Have you seen the size of paper towels? When I was a boy, back when, paper towels were a reasonable size. Maybe the size of a larger napkin, or if you're from France, serviette. Or if you're a woman, serviette. Because women and the French seem to have a lot in common, including a love for wiping up diarrhea with paper towels. Now, my wife, my goddamn wife, is always wiping up diarrhea with paper towels. I say, honey, why can't you use the cloths? I cut up your wedding dress to make a bunch of rags to wipe my car and wax my car. Why aren't those good enough for diarrhea too? And she just continues crying and wiping up the diarrhea that sloughs off from her insides because of her chemo treatments. Now I ask you, do we need these tent-sized cloths of paper just to wipe up our own diarrhea? Or should we just get our own diarrhea under control? Maybe we just need to get our women under control. I've noticed that women tend to use 5 times as much paper towels as men, and they tend to have more diarrhea. I have a suspicion it's because their insides are much weaker. Could it be because their uteruses are pressing up against their vital organs, causing them to not digest as powerfully and well and efficiently as men, and smartly? This is why they don't make as much every hour, because they're constantly having diarrheas all day, or cleaning up their diarrheas with these massive, gigantic paper towels. All right. So that's fine. Let's switch over to Andy Rooney. And I have a feeling he's going to school me again. But let's just see.
There are certain subjects you don't talk about in polite society. And tonight, I'd like to talk about one of those. One of the great games played in every household in America is trying to be the one who doesn't have to put a new roll of toilet paper on the roller.
The trick, of
course, is to leave just a little so the next person will have to do it. If it seems to you that rolls of paper of every kind aren't lasting as long as they used to, it isn't your imagination. Last year, in a report I did on how much of their product manufacturers put into a box, a can, a bag, or a roll, I expressed a wish. I wish I had a box of Kleenex from 20 years ago, or any box of paper tissue, or some rolls of towels. I'd like to see how much smaller they've gotten. Well, I didn't get any old boxes of Kleenex, lucky for Kleenex, but people did send me a lot of rolls of paper that they bought 10 or 20 years ago.
Why the fuck would you even...
Here's a roll of paper towel, Bounty. This is the old one. It says new, but that was in 1976. 85 square feet, 100 sheets, 50 cents. Here's the new one, 60 square feet, 72 sheets, on sale for 99 cents.
I like how this guy's main complaint seems to be things cost money. You know, can you believe that this thing from 1978 costs less than a thing from 1990? I also, I like how he just kind of glossed over the fact, like, I asked viewers to send me in 30, 40, 50-year-old packages of paper towels, and I got some. Would you not dispatch some kind of police immediately? I'm not saying someone's breaking the law by having a 30-year-old still-wrapped thing of paper towels, but I'm saying that it warrants a check-in.
Charmin has been very busy redesigning its package over the years. Kid looks the same age as he used to, but there's a lot less paper in the package. The first one we have had 365 square feet, 650 sheets. A few years later, 281 square feet, 500 sheets, 76 cents. Next, 275 square feet, $1.19. 154 square feet, $1.59. The last one we have, Charmin Ultra, is 93.5 square feet.
White My Cloud. God.
First one we have had 210 square feet, then 165, then 137 square feet, and the last one we have is 126 square feet. I'm sure there'll be a new and improved version out very shortly with 97 square feet. One of the things about life we've all learned to depend on is this. Whatever you buy, you can be sure it'll be smaller, more expensive, and probably not as good as the last time you bought it.
I'm Steve Kroft. We'll be back next week with another edition of 60 Minutes.
Well, I'm counting that as a W for me. I don't know how you feel about it at home, but I really think that I nailed it much harder than Andy. I mean, his whole point was that things are more expensive, which, no fucking duh. No duh. Also, you're not really making a great point about the expensiveness of toilet paper when you're like, well, this used to cost 95 cents, now it's $1.75, almost $2. Who cares? I mean, when something used to cost 5 cents and now costs 25, that's a huge increase when you're talking about percentage. But honestly, it's not a big difference. You like how I'm breaking into that Andy Rooney cadence? But honestly, it's not that big a difference. Let's move on to another one. Andy Rooney, women's hair. Now, let's see if I can just click on this if there's a date that he said this, because I'd be curious to know
what I'm going to say
when this happened. 1994. So again, I will just have to guess what he would say about women's hair. And I have about 2 minutes here. Let me just get a clock going. I've noticed something as I walk down the streets of my small town that has a boardwalk near the sea, because that's the kind of place I choose to live and never tan my pale old man legs. Women have been getting shorter and shorter hair. Now, I don't know if they think that this makes them more free, if they think that this is some kind of male agenda that forces them to have their long, luscious locks. But I'll tell you this. When Andy Rooney comes in a woman's hair, he wants there to be a lot of hair. He wants to come in the hair flowing down their back as he bangs her doggy style. He does not want to have to wrangle himself around and contort himself into strange positions just to simply be able to commit the loving act of coming in his wife's hair. Therefore, the hair needs to be a little longer. Furthermore, if I'm going to come in your hair, it benefits you if it's a little further from your face, now doesn't it? Because I'll come in your hair and your face. Andy Rooney's not afraid to come anywhere. Andy Rooney comes where he wants. However, when Andy Rooney comes, he brings the flood. He brings the thunder, the white thunder. When Andy Rooney comes, it's like the consistency of a crunch bar melted because it's been in your pocket all day. Which is actually a great analogy because it's a similar smell. You know how when you eat a crunch bar that's been in your pocket all day, it's got that strange inner thigh and ball sack warmth, which isn't the same as leaving it on the dashboard in your car, or putting it briefly in the microwave to soften it to rub all over your breasts. That's how my cum is. You can tell it's been warmed by thighs, balls, hard work, walking on the boardwalk, and getting steamed about these ladies and their goddamn short hair. All right, so that's my version. Let's see what Andy's got to say. Andy?
It's my opinion that a great many women have one thing in common. They spend too much time and money fooling around with their hair.
Oh, damn it. He's so good at that. Fooling around with their hair.
Or having someone else fool around with it. Torture it to death is what they're doing to it. You know, there's something wrong with any group of businesses that call themselves beauty parlors or beauty salon. The average woman is no more beautiful than the average man is handsome. And they wouldn't call a barber shop a...
Is that a good point? The average woman is no more beautiful than the average man is handsome. You know what? I mean, it makes sense when you say it, but when I think about it, if you took the median man and the median woman, I think the median woman would be more attractive. I gotta be honest, if you found the exact middle woman attractiveness-wise, out of 100 random women and 100 random men, which would most people rather see naked? Anyway.
Handsome salon. I don't know what the word salon means anyway. I suspect a place that calls itself a salon feels it can charge more. This must be very expensive, salon de salon. One of the things that makes me suspicious of women's barbershops is their names. There is no single group of businesses on earth that suffers more from the cute name syndrome. Someone going into the beauty parlor business must sit up nights for weeks before they open up, trying to think of a cuter name than the last place. Curl up and die. Tresses, the clip joint, blades, scissors, sheer fantasy, the shearing station, just cutting up, the smart set, headquarters, making waves, sheer perfection, the main attraction, scissors of Oz, hair wizards, hairlines, hair waves, hair today, hairport, hairsmiths, here we are. Here I am. Here it is.
Knock you like a hurricane.
This may be the winner of the worst name contest, Best Little Hair House. Some places cut both men and women's hair. They have names like Romeo and Juliet or Bonnie and Clyde. And some of them don't just fix hair, they do coiffures. I imagine a coiffure is twice as expensive as a haircut. Jilly's Salon de Coiffure. I just can't understand why a man goes to the barber and has his hair cut when a woman has to go to a beauty parlor and have her hair done for three times the price.
Boom. That's okay. Well, interesting. Here's the thing. That guy he made a living out of, he just basically went on and read the pun names of a bunch of hair salons. I mean, he did that for like a minute and a half. Sheer Attraction, The Haircut Zone, Headquarters. He just read the name. Probably the worst one, The Best Little Hair House. I mean, no real commentary on it other than like, here's a list of a bunch of names. This was his job. Although I will say this, I guess I'm playing his rendition of these things, and that is what I'm doing for my show. Although I will say I've made so far none money. And also, I'm not like a known national celebrity, okay? I'm giving that one to me as well. I gotta say, I think Andy was phoning it in on that one. That one had that strong feel of like, I just had my research team go out and find a bunch of cute names. Well, there's one on here called Going to the Movies. Should we try that one? I mean, so this is obviously going to be something horrible about the movies, why the movies are awful and why you can't go to the movies, right? So here we go. Put a little clock up for myself. You know, I used to go to the movies as a boy. Do all mine start with as a boy? Or, you know, back when, you know, 100 years ago, people didn't even go to the movies. You know, the movies have changed a lot since I was a boy. You could pay a nickel, get in there, have a popcorn, watch a Western, have another popcorn, watch a sci-fi, take a popcorn dump that gets loosened up because by then your girlfriend's come by to give you a hand bone. That's what we called a hand job back then, was a ham bone. And that loosened up your stool enough that you could go in the bathroom where you could sit and read the paper before coming back out to enjoy a hot cup of coffee with your next popcorn and watch the newest newsreel about our brave boys landing in the Omaha beach. Now you go, and it's a ridiculous cost. And look at the size of this popcorn bucket. This is enormous. No person needs to eat this much popcorn in any amount of time. How would you eat anything else for the rest of the evening? When I was a man, what you did is you took a girl to the theater, pressured her to give you a couple ham bones until she cried, and then to keep her silent, you would take her out to a nice dinner, perhaps a diner, a steakhouse, or some other place where you could take her, she could dry her eyes, and fill herself up on good foods like steak and fries and pancakes. Did you know that we used to eat steak on top of pancakes? I bet you didn't. You know why? Because these goddamn movies present an image of Hollywood that nobody can compete with. And that's the movies. Thank you. Thank you. Like I had to take an applause break there. Let's see what Andy has to say.
Mr. Rooney, as you might expect, is a creature of habit.
On most Sunday evenings, I watch 60 Minutes at home like everyone else. I don't see anything but my own part of it before the program is broadcast. Recently, I watched Leslie's piece on people who rent movies to watch on their television screen in their own living room.
Wow.
Instead of going to a theater. Leslie had some figures I'm not sure of. She said a company called Netflix made $688 million renting movies last year. Well, I may be wrong, but I don't think renting movies to watch at home for $5 is ever going to be the way most Americans see a movie. You can't rent the popcorn. The phrase going to the movies means something special. It's more than just watching something on a screen. It's more than entertainment. And it isn't anything at all like watching a movie at home. I've been going to the movies since I was about 8 years old, and I still enjoy it occasionally. My mother used to give me 35 cents, which bought the ticket and the popcorn or caramel corn.
Caramel.
Now she'd have to give me about $8 or more for the
So far, we're treading the same ground, although he had caramel. What is with this salon instead of salon? Caramel corn. I don't even know what a salon is. I don't even know what a caramel is, but boy, was it good.
Ticket and $5 for the popcorn. Sitting in your regular chair in your own living room may be easy, but watching a movie that way is like having a party and not having anyone else come.
Yeah, that's the best kind of party. That's what I'm doing right now, by the way. It's like having a radio show and no one listens to it.
The good things about actually going to a theater. Your phone doesn't ring during a movie. No one starts talking to you about President Bush during an exciting part of the show.
Also not true.
Seats are different than the chair in your living room, but they're comfortable. If there's someone too tall in front of you, you can always move over a couple of seats. I think the best thing about actually going to the movies, though, is being in an audience with other people around you. You don't know them, but you laugh or cry when they laugh or cry. You bond with a lot of strangers. It's a friendly feeling, even though you don't get involved with them. Your only relationship to the other people in the theater is the feeling you're sharing about that movie. I like that. You can watch a picture at home if you want, but I'm going to the movies.
I'm Morley Safer. We'll be back next week with another edition of 60 Minutes.
Pretty good. Pretty good. You know, I didn't take Andy Rooney for like a lover of people. Although, okay, I'm calling that one a tie, and here's why. We covered some of the same ground, and though he is wrong, I mean, I have the benefit of an extra like 10, 15 years of history, right? I mean, this Netflix is never going to take off. She had some pretty questionable figures that this company made money renting movies for home viewing. I mean, so it's a little unfair, though, for me to be like, this fucking idiot doesn't know anything. I mean, he was at the grave by the time. If he could see now, if he could only see now, the things that we're jacking off to with our phones. I mean, if he were alive now, this is why I think someone needs to take his place, and I think I'm the right person. I could do the best. There's so many more things that need this sort of treatment, I think, the Andy Rooney treatment. When I was a boy, we used to jack off to magazines. We had to hard earn these magazines. Hard earn. You couldn't just take your phone out, the same one you used to call your grandmother on Sunday, and open it up to a naked woman shoving a zucchini all up in her. No. You had to trick someone's older brother into buying it for you, or con a strange man who lived in your town into going into the store for beer money. It wasn't as easy, but the fruit, the nectar, which is what I still call pornography today, was that much sweeter. I mean, doesn't that need to happen? Don't we need to do this kind of thing? I wish I had an office that looked like his office so I could just do that. And I could have my little Andy Rooney. Andy Rooney on pornography. Andy Rooney on Xbox. Let's see. We've got one on dogs here. This is a tricky one. I don't know if Andy Rooney is going to be pro-dog or anti-dog. I don't know. Should we let Andy Rooney go first this time or not go first? Should we just switch it up, let him go first? I'll do what I can. Let's see what Andy says.
Someone gave me this book. It's called The Intelligence of Dogs. It's a good book. The author obviously knows a lot about dogs. He writes the intelligence of all these breeds on this chart. And I think a lot of dog owners are going to disagree with his conclusions. We've had the chart blown up so we can all see it.
He is standing in front of a life-size, taller-than-him version of a chart. And by chart, it's a list. Two-column list, two pages wide. So it's like Andy Rooney is shrunk and standing in the book.
Number one on his list is the Border Collie. Now, I suppose if you think a smart dog is one that chases sheep around all day, he may be right. Number two.
So what we've got going right now is Andy Rooney slamming dog breeds, basically. Yeah, if you think a creature that eats out of a bowl on the floor is smart, then fuck you. So here's what we could do, I guess. I hope he keeps going this way. So we'll just alternate. So he said border collie. Yeah, if you think an animal that chases sheep around. I'll just say, that's the number one smartest dog. Really? That's an insult to dogs everywhere. One time I saw a border collie just get hit by a goddamn car. Didn't even have the good sense to die on the sidewalk. Limped its way further into the street and stopped traffic for over 3 minutes.
The poodle. Number three, the German.
The poodle. That's got poo right in the name. Can you believe that? Who would name a dog poo and then add something to it? Am I supposed to believe that it used to be called the dole and they just added poo? Or it was called an oodle and they just put a P on the front for no reason? I wouldn't mind a dog called an oodle. It would be oodles of fun.
Shepherd, and he goes down.
German Shepherd? Well, we all know that the Germans are smart and calculating, but sometimes all that intelligence comes at the cost of a little humanity. I once saw a German Shepherd marching some Jewish fellows into... Okay.
16, here is a collie.
Well, we all know the collie is the kind of dog that Lassie was, and that dog seemed pretty smart, but I gotta be honest. why didn't it just save Timmy from going in the well in the first place? Instead of telling everyone Timmy's in the well, just stop Timmy from falling in the goddamn well. That would be a hero dog. A dog just reporting on the bad thing that's happened is hardly a hero at all.
Here's the Airedale, number 29,
The Airedale? I don't even know what that is. Some kind of airplane? Is that what they called the small aircraft they flew on Chippendale Rescue Rangers?
Smart. He's got some dogs I never heard of. Here's the Kvaz.
I like this. This is a classic old man thing. Bill O'Reilly does this too, much to my enjoyment. I like when an old man dismisses something by saying, I've never even heard of that. It's basically, and they don't say the second part, but what they mean is, I've never heard of that, so I deem it to be bullshit. Bill O'Reilly did this. He was talking about like a show. I think it was like Law and Order or CSI or something. He's saying, you know, CSI or SVU or something, a show I've never even seen. And it's like, okay, well, if you've never seen it, I guess it's got no relevance. Same thing with a dog with Andy Rooney. He's like, I've never heard of this dog. Well, okay. You've never heard of the 42nd smartest dog.
Up here. And look, at way down here, number 72nd is the beagle. I thought they were smarter than that.
I thought a beagle was much smarter. Ooh, Basset Hound is 71, Nicanor. That's not very good. That's not very good as the smartest dogs. I don't know what the tests were, though. They could have been racist, because I noticed that the Basset Hound and the Beagle, which are shaped similarly, are pretty low. They're in the 70s together. So it could have been a racist test. Could have been some test that was like, hey, how smart is your dog about not getting high-centered on like a parking block? And it's like, well, it doesn't have much to do with smarts. They're just, if you put a wedge under their center, they would just perish.
He doesn't say anything about which dogs are nicest. I went over to the park the other day.
That's amazing.
To ask people about their dogs.
The black poodle is naturally the smarter.
How can you tell a chow is dumb?
They're just not as smart as German shepherds.
You're crazy. Is it smart?
Yeah, very smart. Oh.
Is she smart enough to do what she wants to do, not necessarily what I want her to do?
You like him?
I love him.
Oh, do they understand words?
Yes, sir, they do.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, what word would that Cavalier Spaniel understand?
Topper. Come here, Topper. No, Topper.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Well, I mean, he's, you know, reasonably smart.
He's dumb.
He's dumb, yeah.
He's good. I like him with other people. They needed to get him out more. Well, he's reasonably smart. He's dumb. What you're saying by that is he's a fucking moron. How many words does your dog know? If I told it democracy, would it know what I meant?
Hi, what kind of a dog is this?
That's a Briar.
Briar is 30th, right?
Yeah.
You're 30th.
Yeah.
And the dog's name is Grace?
Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace. Is she very religious?
Smelling Andy Rooney's balls.
My only complaint with Stanley Korn's book is where he rates my favorite, the English Bulldog. Here he is, way down here.
77, English Bulldog. Now, why? I wonder why Andy Rooney, him of the jowls and the elongated gray bushy eyebrows, would like an English Bulldog. I wonder where he would get a similarity there.
Here, almost at the bottom of the list, number 77. I just happened to be very close to one brilliant bulldog.
Oh.
This is my dog, Spencer. Not really my dog. He's my granddaughter Alexis's dog, but I've taught him pretty much everything he knows. Now watch this. Roll over. Spencer, roll over.
Not doing
all right,
shit.
Speak. You see? Who wants a dog so dumb that he rolls over when you tell him to roll over, or speaks when you ask him to speak? That's a dumb dog who'll do that. This is a very smart dog.
There's no doubt about it. Dogs are nicer than people.
That was great. I do like that, though, because, I mean, he didn't quite get there. You know, there's no winners or losers for that one, because we kind of tag-teamed that bitch. Get it, bitch. But, I mean, with that, he didn't get there. But I think the point is, like, who gives a shit? How smart does your dog need to be? Because honestly, here's your options. You have a smart dog who just ignores you, or you have a dumb dog who doesn't know what you're saying. So would you rather have a dog who just fucking purposefully ignores you because it's smart and knows what you're saying and chooses to do otherwise anyway, or the one that doesn't know what you're saying and so does make you miserable, but it's really not its fault? It doesn't know. It knows not what it does. It doesn't know what it does. So we've got a couple more here. Let's see. Birthdays. Now, I'm guessing that Andy Rooney is going to be anti-birthday. I have a feeling. I'll go first this time. Give me about 2 minutes here. You know, when I was a boy, we celebrated our birthdays with some soda crackers, orange pop, and a nice sit on a fence watching a sun rocket through the sky as the days went past. The days were a lot faster then. I wore overalls with no shirt underneath and once had a very nice adventure on a raft with a Negro gentleman as we flowed down the mighty Mississippi, which back then was just known as the mediocre Mississippi. Now, a birthday is a big deal. I had a woman in my office practically diarrhea-ing herself, telling me her birthday was coming up. I said, "How far away is your birthday?" She said, 8 months. 8 months! Can you believe that? Who's looking towards their birthday 8 months in the future? I don't even know if I'll be alive 8 months in the future, let alone celebrating another birthday. What am I supposed to do? Get this person a present? As an adult, you don't even need a present. You should have all the things you want and need in your life, and if you don't, you should go out and seize the day and find them for yourselves, rather than diarrheaing all over my goddamn desk when I'm trying to watch the sun flow through the sky and look at pictures of topless Negro men, because that's what I remember from my youth and what activated an Andy Rooney's nascent sexuality. Furthermore, once you've celebrated several birthdays, some of the luster comes off the celebration, but what brought me back to it was my granddaughter's birthday. You could watch the kids all having a good time, bouncing sensually in a bounce house. It's a very good time to be had, and really reminds you of the magic of a child's wonder, heart, and bouncing sensually in a bounce house. There we go. That's Pete as Andy. Let's see what Andy does.
If you forgot to wish Andy a happy birthday, he's grateful.
Yeah.
If I seem a little down tonight, it's because I had a birthday recently.
If I seem a little more jowly and pissed off than normal, that would be surprising, but not unreasonable.
Whoever decided that happy birthday was a good thing to say to someone who just got a year older? Happy birthday's for kids. Birthday doesn't do anything for the person having it, except remind him or her that he's just 1 year closer to the end of it all. If you're 49, why should turning 50 be an occasion for joy or celebration? I think of being old a lot. There's so many things that remind me of it. For instance, trying to get back on my feet after being down on my back, reconnecting a loose wire behind the television set, reminds me that I can't do a lot of things I used to do easily. Preferring to go to bed at 10 p.m. New Year's Eve to watching people make fools of themselves on television in Times Square. Having no interest whatsoever in seeing the movie King Kong. Looking in the bathroom mirror first get up. Looking in the bathroom mirror just before I go to bed. Looking in any mirror anytime reminds me of how old I am.
His pants are so fucking high. I mean, his belly button is more covered in pant than it is shirt.
Looking through a dresser drawer and coming across a watch I wore for 20 years that had to be wound every day. Flipping the pages in my telephone and address book and realizing how many names I should remove from it. I hate to take out Harry Reasoner. wearing the same shoes every day because they're comfortable, even if they look terrible, is a bad sign of age. I realize I'm out of it when I go to the movies and I'm shocked at the repeated use of the four-letter F word. Younger people in the audience seem to accept it as normal conversation. You're over the hill if you wonder if your subscriptions to Boy's Life, Collier's, Liberty, and the Saturday Evening Post have run out yet.
Yeah.
You're no spring chicken. If you could remember when your father had an Essex, a Packard, a Hupmobile, a Pierce Arrow, a Nash, or a Kaiser Frazier. Got a few years.
Those are cars.
You slid downhill on wooden skis, a flexible flyer, or rolled on skates that had four wheels. Not caring whether your socks match is a sign of your age. You're on the downhill side of life. If you always need more light reading the newspaper, although sometimes the news is so bad, you decide not to read it because you've seen it all before. Happy birthday? I don't think so.
Nice.
I'm Morley Safer. We'll be back next week with another edition of 60 Minutes.
That was pretty solid. You know, Andy Rooney has the edge in that one because he's an old man. So he could just be like, here's some, I liked those cars. A Packer, an Arrow, a Robotron 68, a Smoke Targeton, what was that, Kaiser? A Kaiser Soze. I think we got time for one more. You know, it kind of tipped his hand a little, because there's one on here called Dirty Words. And obviously he doesn't like, as he calls it, the F word. So I kind of get a little hint on that one. But I'll give it a try. You know, we'll do Andy's dirty words. We'll do Pete's dirty words and Andy's dirty words. Fuck. Shit. Cock, cunt. Balls. Bitch, bitch, bitch. Asshole. Shit. Fuck. This seems like all I hear anymore. Since when did the word fuck become a replacement for the word oops or whoops or whoopsie swoodles or goddamn mother piece of shit? Sure. I had a filthy mouth when I was a child. I'm likely to scream something like banana oil if I dropped my keys to my Kaiser Soze mobile on the ground, and they would fall into an old-timey large sewer. They made sewers a lot bigger back then, because then you could lose your keys in them. And it helped us. It kept us slowed down in life. But now we've barely got time for words with more than four letters. I was recently at the movies, and I was shocked by the language used on screen. Fuck, cock, cunt, this is all in the movies, and this is what passes for good writing these days. But if I was shocked by what was on screen, I was 100,000 times as shocked what was happening off the screen. Young people surrounding me who'd paid upwards of 58 cents just for the popcorn or caramel corn, and had their hair done in fancy salons with hairsprays that smelled like, in my opinion, diarrhea. Many of these were women. Now, when I was a boy, women didn't use words like bitch fist or angry dildo fuck. They said nicer things like gee whiz or gosh darn. Sure, the occasional oh shit balls would escape my mother's lips, just as the occasional shitty balls escaped my mother's lips, but for the most part, she kept those shit balls locked deep behind her lips. Now, I'm not going to say that people can't use these swear words, but even today's paper towels, at their astronomical cost, can't clean up the language to what it used to be. Let's see what Andy says.
And now, a few minutes with Andy.
I have quite a few bad habits, which I'm not going to talk about now because I only have a few minutes.
Checking off in my wife's hair.
But swearing and using dirty words is not one of my vices. I don't use foul language, and I don't like to hear anyone else use it either.
You know, he doesn't have to. I have to say he has an advantage because he's so masterful at complaining, why would he need to?
It doesn't make me a wonderful person, but I like this about myself, or I wouldn't be telling you about it. You don't hear dirty words on broadcast television very often, except on cable and satellite, because 30 years ago,
the Federal Communications Commission banned their use in broadcasting. It was the right thing to do, but I know what words I think are okay to use and which ones are not, and I don't need the FCC to tell me what they are. Later this year, the Supreme Court will be deciding whether some broadcasters should be fined by the FCC for the brief use of those dirty words. They call them fleeting expletives. No one has ever explained what harm dirty words do, but it's like bad manners. I mean, life is a bootstrap operation, and dirty words may not be much, but they diminish the quality of all our lives by just a little bit. I think if the Federal Communications Commission left broadcasters alone, there would be very little profanity on the air because most people just don't want it. And if listeners don't want it, broadcasters wouldn't give it to them. I was in the Army for 4 years. I know all the four-letter words. I just don't want to be reminded of them on broadcast. But I don't want a lot of government agencies trying to regulate what I can say or hear on the air either. Language is one of the best tools ever invented for anything, and English is by far the best language. We should be careful using it, though, so I'll damn well decide for myself what I can say and what I can't say.
I'm Scott Pelley. We'll be back next Sunday with another edition of 60 Minutes.
God, he's good. I'll damn well decide for myself what these motherfuckers can tell me to do. I'm giving that one to Andy. You know, the first half was weak. His little, it just diminishes our whatever. But I liked his point, and actually, in that case, he was kind of prescient. I do think, I mean, things have gotten a little looser swearing-wise in the last 10 years on TV. Like, you could see, you know, the South Park movie on Comedy Central, unedited and whatnot. I actually agree. I mean, I think that the networks are pansies, if I can use that word. Because they're afraid that people won't watch if there's cursing. But nonetheless, there's a lot less cursing than there once was. Well, guys, I think I proved without a doubt that I could do it. Maybe even better than Mr. Rooney. You know, a lot of people would tell me that without Andy Rooney on TV, there was a big void. And I tell them, sure, there's a big void. A fucking eyebrows. But on the radio, there's someone even better. Someone with a youthful voice, yet who has the complaints of an older man. He's got an old soul when it comes to complaining about things, and he doesn't like when people have fun. Just today, he saw a group of youths outside his apartment in wheelchairs, walking them along, obviously up to no good as they were wearing bicycle and football helmets. And he got immediately angry and almost wanted to pull over and hit them with his vehicle. But he didn't. Instead, he went inside, prepared himself a hard-boiled egg, and sat in front of the television while it was turned off. Thanks for listening. Sometimes, Lord, I forget to breathe. I can love you like